Welcome back to another episode of Breakfast with the Gators, part of the Stadium and Gale Network, and presented by our partner, Norris & Norris PA. Norris & Norris PA in Lake City, Florida. They are a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. You can give Guy a call at 386-752-7240. If you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate, wills, or trust and estate planning. Well, guys, third straight week, recapping another Gators loss as they fall 26-7 to, I believe, the fourth-ranked Miami Hurricanes and fall to 1-3 for the first time in 39 years. And with the news circulating that we've all seen throughout the internet this week, it appears ABC is showing all-time ratings with their late-night comedy slot replacing Jimmy Kimmel with Billy Napier's offense. And we're hoping with the same result here in the next few weeks in a firing. What are your thoughts, fellas? I'll start with you, Hunter.
I think Dev said it before we hopped on. Sometimes you just gotta laugh so you don't cry. I'm starting to get numb, and I think we've all been there the last decade or so, where we go through these cycles of coaches where you hit a point where the frustration turns into a numbness because you're just all too used to it, and I'm starting to get there. Just very sad right now, to be honest, Jackson. Very sad.
It's a heck of a year to start a Gator podcast. You start for the first time since 1986. I got my UPS, You Belong at UPS shirt in honor of where Billy's going to be working come December. So,
yeah, Sam, you've got an upgraded background. What were your thoughts tonight?
Yeah, shout out, chat. Help me out with this one. Yeah, like you guys said, it's just deflating. It's annoying. It's the same thing. And, like, it was a close game once again in retrospect, but we truly, like, never really had a chance. Like, we didn't get the ball past the 50 until the third quarter. We were talking before we hopped on here, like, what were the highlights other than the ball touchdown run? Like, it's just, yeah, it's over. We're done. We're dead.
It's pretty funny because you can see that we're actually a pretty good team. Like, Billy's not wrong when he says we're pretty close to being dangerous. He just refuses to acknowledge that the reason we're not dangerous is solely because of him. And I mean, it just, the microcosm of the game, which really represents his entire tenure, was the fourth down sequence where we had miscommunication between the offensive coordinator and the head coach as to whether or not we were going to go for it on fourth down. And of course, those are the same people, but it's like he's schizophrenic talking in his own mind about whether or not we're going to go for it on fourth down. I think this one we actually lucked into getting. We did a little, you know, run around to DJ, but I just thought it was very fitting that, you know, the camera zooms into Billy and it shows where he's asking, what are we doing here? And it's pretty representative of what every single Gator fan who watches the Gators this year has had to say, like, what are we doing here? I mean, you go in, same exact thing. I told you guys earlier in the week that this team is going to come out. We got Miles Graham, legacy Gator, captain of the defense. This defense is not going to quit. It doesn't matter. They were getting run over in the first half, down what, four offensive linemen, four defensive linemen, if you include LJ McCray. And it didn't matter. They stayed. They kept it to a two-score game. And then this guy, Billy Napier, I mean, the gall, the absolute gall of this guy to go into Holly Rose interview at halftime and to talk about how the offense hadn't had any short fields. They've been playing a long field. Like, oh, my goodness. I don't know how people talk about culture and they want to play for this guy and what he's talking about with these recruits, because – I mean, that's just the biggest coward stuff I've ever talked about. Like, take a look in the mirror, like you say you're going to. Talking about the defense, never giving you a short field. Like, oh, my gosh, we're a family show, thank goodness. Otherwise, my mind would just be – we might lose a sponsor even though we got a family relationship. I mean, it just absolutely, absolutely absurd. And then it was like, you know, it was almost like the defense was just like, well, shut up, coach, we'll show you. And then they gave us a short field and, like, literally the opportunity. He said in his postgame, he's like, we had the opportunity to go win the game there and we didn't do it. Gee, I wonder what happened.
I was impressed with how Billy was able to fix it up while also continuing to play the hits. So we had our fourth year in a row with a 10 man on the field goal unit, but then Billy also managed to mix it up some. A timeout out of an injury timeout is something we have not seen yet at this point.
Every week is a new creative way to screw something up. It's honestly hysterical.
Something new from Billy this week. It was refreshing to see him change up the way he wants to waste a timeout.
We didn't need it anyways. Like he's unbelievable.
And it's like watching Arkansas find a new way to lose the game on the field, whether it's fumbling inside the 20 or inside the 5-yard line. It's like us watching Billy Napier and see how he can mismanage a clock in any capacity.
Yeah.
But I'm getting tired of it too. We thought this would be a fun idea, fellas, and it's turned into kind of a hassle to come speak to you guys every Sunday morning about the state of the Florida Gators.
Well, it's kind of like – it's right. Like what Billy says, you know, it's like the idea was good, but the execution has not been there. I thought the team was going 12-0 and that this would be a blast.
Spot the pod.
Yeah. And now we got Lane Kiffin trolling us. Spot the ball. Oh my gosh.
We'll get to the list here later in the show, Will. I think you've already covered in detail half the game or most of the game already. So we can hang up and call in next week.
I can't help myself. I can't help myself. I start thinking about what happened and I just get more and more mad. I'm like,
we said we needed the horn, Jackson. This man just hit the horn.
I had the horn ready and I don't know where it's at. So apologize to the listeners. I would have cut off Will about 5 minutes ago.
Nobody's in charge.
Yeah, no one's in charge. Technical difficulties everywhere. It's basically a Billy Napier offense on this podcast right now.
Real quick, did you guys catch the part last night where Miami took an intentional delay game and the camera caught him like pointing them back like you got to back up 5 yards even though they literally meant to take a delay game?
Billy was moved back, you sucking them from the side.
it was so great. You're like, oh, he's literally a high school coach. It's hysterical.
He's probably finally someone other than me.
Yeah.
Well, let's get into our first caller. I believe this is Drew from Tampa. Let's get his thoughts and his where he is at currently mentally.
This is Drew from Fort Myers. And I just want to say that Billy Napier and Scott Strickland have ruined my life and ruined the Florida Gators football program. I'm at a loss for words. And really, I'm upset with where this program stands. And I have nothing else to say.
I think we're all – thanks, Drew, from Fort Myers. Apologies. I said Tampa, but, again, we're just all having difficulties tonight, whether it's us watching the Gators, Napier calling plays, or me getting your location right. But, yeah, that's the state. Dev, you said it after the USF game, I believe.
Yeah, I was going to say, I couldn't have said it better myself, Drew, because I said it 2 weeks ago. I don't mean to come at you, Drew, but I could have told you he was ruining our life. Yeah, Drew, you're right. He is ruining our lives. It's tough. It's tough out here for a Gator fan.
What comes first, the Pete Thamel firing tweet or the Scott Strickland vote of confidence press release?
I mean, there's no way we get another vote of confidence. I don't think it's happening today. We're one day closer, though. It's inevitable. We all know it. There's no pulling out of it this time, I don't think. If it was up to me, I would do it today, and only because – you have to fire your play caller. And when you've made yourself the play caller with how bad this offense has been, there's no justification for keeping that guy in the role. And he's already made clear he's not taking himself out of the role. So I don't know. No one's going to argue with me that we don't need to fire him, obviously. But I don't know how you go into this bye week and how you can go into the rest of the season and if you're Scott Strickland and say, I think that this guy gives us the best chance to win football games if he's the one calling plays.
I agree. And Sam, we were talking before the show. I don't know if you're on, but how Billy's ruined your life. Does it kind of affect your Sundays? I know you got the Vikings, you know, a pretty good team, but does it kind of take the air out of the ball watching the NFL knowing the Gators stink?
A little bit. I mean, it definitely dampers the rest of college football, you know, especially like I'm sure we missed some other great games last night because we were too busy watching DJ Lagway throw for 60 yards in a 60-minute football game. So that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I'm going to get a Carson Wentz experience today. And the ones who know me know I'm a sicko, and I'm kind of, like, really excited for this. But, no, the Vikings, I'm used to it. The Vikings are in my life, too. So I'm excited still for the Vikings just because I know Kevin O'Connell knows how to call some plays, even though that hasn't necessarily been the case. However, I was having a little bit of deja vu from the Vikings Monday night game to last night when we were, like, terrible in the first half. Might have had something going. I was like, oh, they're doing it. And then Billy just got in his own way again. So, yeah, but hopefully the Vikings can make me happy.
Yeah, I'm glad you weren't on our Breakfast Bites show that dropped Wednesday of last week. I don't know if you're ducking after the Falcons embarrassed your Vikings.
You got me
last Sunday night.
No, and hey, great job with the Breakfast Bites, guys. You know, it's just me being in Arizona. You guys do those while I'm still working, so kind of a little bit of a complication there. But maybe one day, maybe I'll call in sick if we maybe if the stars align.
Well, I think the big sign tonight, and even with watching College Game Day, which was just a three-hour mockery of the Florida Gators, Brian from Miami called in and talked about how this is just, you know, the trajectory of the programs. I believe Mario and Billy took over their programs at the same time, both in year four, completely different directions. We are tweeting and texting each other all the time about the list, who our new coach is going to be, while Mario's got the Hurricanes undefeated, bound for the playoffs, bound for the ACC championship game if they keep playing this level of football. Will, what's your biggest takeaway? These two, you know, they claim the U is back. Pat McAfee's in a Speedo jumping off the high dive on national television. And, you know, the Gators just getting made fun of all day.
My biggest takeaway is that the Florida Gators are a head coach away from being in the same exact picture. I mean, we've given up, five touchdowns now against three four. FBS teams?
Yeah, four if you count the last one when they took over the 22-yard line, which I'm not really counting, so – four total.
It's just, I mean, that's really my main takeaway is that Billy Napier is the problem. Billy Napier keeps looking for the problem, and he's like, he's literally the meme of the guy in the hot dog where he's like, we're all trying to find the guy who did this. Like that game last night, it was like a minor miracle that Florida was even had a chance to win the game. And you can just tell, like, you know, you can easily compare it to Dan Mullen since he was the last coach, but like when it's 13-7 and we got the ball sort of not in plus territory, but you know, good opportunity. We got all the momentum in the world and everything. There's just nothing creative that Napier can call to scheme a guy open or anything like that to like get a big play to get some momentum. And it's just like, the other thing was DJ tonight. Like I've criticized some people on Twitter for saying that DJ looked scared. Tonight, he literally looked like he had never played quarterback in his life. Like, it literally looked like after having five picks against LSU, it was like, whatever you do, do not possibly put the ball in any sort of danger because we cannot throw an interception. That would be the worst thing in the world. And so, like, he has these flashes. Like, we had, like, kind of the crosser route to Wilson. And the one on the fourth down late in the game where, you know, the game was already out of reach that Wilson dropped, but where he kind of like, he looked almost like he was just sort of playing off schedule and he looks like he was sort of back to how he was last year. But when he's sitting there in the pocket, like he's got no awareness. He doesn't know what's going on. He can't see like blitzers coming. I don't know if he's changing the plays at the line or what, but it literally looks like a JV high school quarterback out there who's seeing live rushers for the first time. But despite all of that, like it is, Nick Saban said it on game day. He was like, this is the best roster that Billy Napier has had at Florida. Like this is probably the best roster the Florida Gators have had since like 2015, 2016. Like that defense has been set up to fail literally every single possession, it feels like, this entire season. And they are somehow competing their butts off. They're getting like timely turnovers. They're putting the offense where literally like you need one touchdown to swing the game and win. And like we'd be 4-0. And you just can't do it because Billy Napier has no idea what he's doing on game days. And I guess that's the major takeaways. Like, I don't think that this program is very far away. It's not a program that's in the dumps. Like, this is still the state of Florida. This is still the University of Florida. You can get the right guy in here who's going to be able to recruit, get a quarterback, get some defensive studs, and make things happen. But it's just, it's like a testament to the program that, like, we're able to even hang with what's clearly two top 10 teams in the country, LSU and Miami, on the road, and, like, have even a lick of a chance to win just by sheer talent.
Yeah, DJ's doing a weird thing that he didn't do at all last year. Like, last year what made him so special was when he was under pressure, his eyes stayed downfield. He was able to find those guys. Like, obviously the FSU play where he's dead to rights and then breaks out of the tackle and throws on the run to DK, I think it was. This year it's like he sees guys flash across his face. His eyes drop to the line of scrimmage. He doesn't quite know where to go with the ball. And it's just such a weird progression in his career that a weird issue that's popped up this year that you didn't see from him as a true freshman. Is that coaching? Probably. It's such a strange issue to have popped up as a sophomore.
Yeah. Hunter, going off of that, we've seen this for 3 weeks now, and even LIU, so we'll say four straight weeks of Lagway struggling in this offense. Is it, you think it's more of the scheme and Lagway kind of being and handcuffed? We were talking about this at, I was at Dev's parents' house watching the game last night. Is it, you know, last year it looked like Lagway was playing a lot more free-flowing and used his athleticism. But the longer, and we talked about this, the longer players play in Napier's offense, the more they regress. Do you think he's being handicapped by the scheme itself and kind of making him uncomfortable? Or is it just the lack of practice and, you know, a guy that's really still kind of a freshman?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, and you see this on Twitter and social media in general, they always put it up to this debate if it has to be one or the other, right? It's like people are going at each other's throats where it's, oh, it has to be DJ. Like, you see the throws he's missing. It has to be Billy. You see the scheme and you know, his the player's digressions. I think it's a little bit of everything, right? I think there's rust. We're four games in now, about to go into week five. You can only use that for so long. I think there's bad throws on DJ's part where, regardless of scheme, they're just bad throws. I think tonight in particular, there were five or six I could count that were just simple little hitch routes. Ones where I don't want Aiden Warner could hit him. I'm not calling for Aiden Warner to get the start. I'm just saying, like, some of these routes are just so simple. There's just no reason for him to be missing them. And so there's a little bit of that. And then to me, the elephant in the room, the big reason is the coach and the scheme and Billy Napier and the fact that I think Silk pointed this out on Twitter, but what player has gotten better after a year in this offense under Billy? What player have you seen improved and say, oh, wow, like that guy's been coached up and really made a jump? It just hasn't happened. And so you're seeing that too in year two with DJ taking a step back. You can point that as well. So I think it's a little bit of everything is the best way to answer that.
I would agree in the sense it's like a perfect marriage of a terrible play caller and scheme. And DJ has regressed, you know, like, we've talked about his what shape he's in. He looked a little bit quicker when we were actually like calling up some quarterback run on the one drive that we had, which was cool. But like mechanically, he kind of looks off too. And one of my biggest concerns is his favorite target's Hayden Hansen. He's addicted to throwing the ball to Hayden Hansen. I don't understand it. And then also to the scheme, and not, it's some of it's on the receivers too, and like, I believe it was to Abrams on a fourth and four, and we run a hitch. Like, he's got to know to get beyond the chains, but like, also, like, we need to have other options than just 4 yard hitch routes, especially to your undersized redshirt freshman receiver who has to step in after your fifth year bigger receiver gets hurt. So I think it's just a perfect marriage of a bad quarterback play, bad scheme. And yeah, he, like Will pointed out earlier, he legitimately was scared to throw the ball beyond the line of scrimmage. The line of scrimmage. He was terrified to throw the ball beyond the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, and to that point, it was what made him so great last year was him throwing the ball downfield and being an assassin. Like, they gave him any sort of window, any sort of opening, and DJ was making you pay as a defense. They have no fear of a ball going downfield, and I don't know if that's a matter of how the wide receiver room was built, where we don't have any sort of deep threats. I guess Mizell was hurt tonight. We didn't really hear about that before the game, so I don't know if what the deal was with that. He might have missed curfew or whatever it was. I don't know. But no Mizell tonight. You wonder who the downfield option is because we haven't even tried it. And that was what Lagway hung his hat on all of last season. It's just it's mind-numbing.
Yeah, it's really crazy that, like, Billy, the first 3 years, it seemed like his bread and butter was these, like, play action and kind of, like, throw it downfield. And we kind of, like, they were low percentages, but at least we threw the ball downfield. And I was watching the Auburn game, you know, before our game, and they got Cam Coleman and everything. And so Hugh Freeze, like, they just make it look so much easier, where it's like they catch the snap, they got Cam Coleman one-on-one with a smaller DB, and they just throw it up to him. And, like, every single time, the worst thing that happened was a pass interference. And it just, like, we don't do anything like that to try to, like, manufacture some sort of, you know, positive momentum or anything like that. It's just like, we press the Hayden Hansen button all the time. It's crazy.
Yeah. That meme of, I believe it was start in the fourth quarter, Napier under the, in the dark with a flashlight, trying to dial up a play call. I mean, the guy can't even dial one up with the lights on. And I hope you guys got a picture of that, because that will be a meme, I'm assuming Texas week.
And that was the TJ Abrams throw of Jackson.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want to hate on TJ, but in a big moment, we need a first down. We're going for a fourth down, and I'm watching at home. I sit on my couch, and they show Billy with the flashlight. Looks like he's reading the Waffle House menu in the dark, and he's like, "You know what I'm gonna do? TJ Abrams hitch route. They're not gonna see it coming." And say, "Yeah, it's just too good."
I mean, two yards, three.
He has no feel whatsoever that it's like, I mean, I said it earlier that it's like, you know, when you're playing NCAA 26 and you have to, like, select which player gets the ball, like, the fact that we're still running reverse, I think Trey Wilson has, like, 5 reverse handoffs for a total of, like, 7 yards, maybe the entire season. And Vernell Brown has, like, 1 for, like, 55. And we're still pressing the Trey Wilson button the whole time. Like, Yak Wilson, stop that, please. Secondly,
two carries, 3 yards tonight for Eugene on the reverse.
Yeah. Secondly, coordinator about Eugene again. I want to be careful with how I say this, because we were spamming the the swing pass, screen pass to Jaden Ball button last game, and, you know, I mean, Miami's defensive line was much better than LSU's, and you saw zero of them, none of them. And it was like, no, we can't call it. We used it all last game. We're done for the year. We can't do them anymore. And that's just Billy Napier play calling. I mean, I literally imagine Russ Callaway, like, calling it, "Hey, coach, we, like, Reuben Bain's really giving Austin Barber a problem right there. Like, we should set him up and let him go, and, you know, run a little screenplay to Jaden and see if we can make something work in the open field." But it's like, damn it, can't do it. We ran them all last week. That was the Pyburn play. We did it all against LSU. It's just not going to work this week.
It took Billy 11 starts for DJ Lagway to utilize him in the run game. They used him on that 4th and 1, and then on the 1st and goal, we run a quarterback power successfully, and never saw that again. We had a crucial drive after that interception by Cormani, and non-existent. I don't know why you'd ever want to spread out the defense and, you know, change the things up. But
that 4th and 2 quarterback run might have been my favorite Billy Napier play call, like, in 4 years, and it made me realize what a sickness that I have. Long for Dan Mullen football.
That's a Dan Mullen play call.
Like, yeah. I think I just called for Dan Mullen football.
We're in a bad spot.
we are in such a bad spot.
Quarterback power. We're like, oh, everything reminds me of it.
Yeah.
I was watching the UNLV game earlier, and they looked like they were cooking for a second, and I was like, maybe we should think about redoing it. Good luck. That's how bad things are right now.
Hey, you got a four-year window falling with this roster. Just keep the roster intact, and let's see how the first 4 years go. You might get a similar look as what you got the first 4 years last time.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, guys, let's jump to the good and the bad. I'll start with the good, even though it's very limited. And that'll be Cormani McClain. I thought he played his best game as a Gator. I thought last week that track down to the LSU ball carrier to end the game, preserve a touchdown and make the score look a little bit more respectable, carried over for him and getting his first career start in a Gator uniform, three tackles. He played really well in the run game. The pass game obviously had that big pick. But that's I think the only real highlight. I'll start with you, Sam. And what did you take away from today? That was good.
I thought Dijon Johnson looked pretty good too before he got hurt. I don't know if we got an update on that. It didn't particularly look great. I thought he played well. So, like, some of the younger guys in the secondary, I thought were a bit of a plus. And Jaden Woods continues to – I mean, he had a tough matchup. You know, he was going against a – pretty sure he's probably a top 10 pick in the NFL, and I think he was still at least giving him some good runs. So defense, there's those guys. And then offense, Jaden Boss, special. And I hate to say this, but, like, he's going to be a really good player. Like, he could – hopefully he stays, because, like, there's someone's going to come and say, get out of there, bro. Come, like – I hate to put that out there, but how does that guy – wasn't Bama and Georgia very late into his recruitment, and Billy Napier fended them off for that guy? That kind
flipped
of
him, flipped him from Arkansas.
Yeah.
And I know, like, and it's just crazy to me how he has a guy like that and just doesn't know how to use him. And then the times he does use him, he's so special.
12 carries tonight for Jaden Ball after 10 last week. So an averaging 11 in our two biggest games of the year, which is
not touchdown going up, Jackson. 14 against Texas.
Was all him too. It was all him.
Yeah.
You're taking. Yeah, he was hitting the backfield on that.
Give
me one good right from last night's game.
I was gonna say Jaden Ball. Obviously, the defense held up good for three and a half quarters. Not really much good you can take away from it other than that we're one day closer to the end. The end is near. I think we can all just kind of have a countdown clock in our heads knowing that we're every day is a day closer. And then the bad, this is tough after a game like that. I think I'm going to go with the quarterback coach, the offensive coordinator, and the head coach all need to be better than they were tonight.
Is that like the Holy Trinity, three persons and one Billy?
Yeah.
that's some Michael Scott and Jim and Dwight.
Yeah, the triune Billy. Oh, man.
I saw McLeod, I think, Kirk pointed that out on the broadcast, but first half especially, he popped. There was like that one drive especially, I think it was like two or three plays in a row, you just saw the energy. And Kirk said what we were all thinking, where it was like, where's that kind of energy on the offensive side of the ball? I think Kirk even said, like, oh, maybe put him in on the offensive line. So definitely got a shout out McLeod.
Good call there, Hunter.
I would say the one good was I gave Grandpa a little crap for it, but the defense did not quit. They're not going to quit at all. They kept us in the game the whole time, just like they did last week. It's the Muschamp McElwain years all over again. The one bad I want to point out amongst several bads was I think that Billy Napier took the cake where he beat his own records, several records, for the worst timeout in Florida football history last night when he called a timeout after what seemed like an hour and a half long injury timeout delay. And then we go up there with Miami on the goal line and he calls a timeout just for them to literally hand it off and run it right down our throats and score a touchdown the next play. I mean, that was truly the dumbest timeout I think he's ever taken. And he took a really dumb one against USF. So it's hard to beat his own record, but I'd say that was like the worst part of the night.
Hunter, what's your one bad takeaway from last night's game?
Oh man, I think everyone's hit on so many. I don't want to steal yours, Jackson, but I think you texted at one point, we got 8 more games of this, and so yeah. I'll put that out there. I think that's especially bad for the 5 of us that are going to be podcasting after all of them, and including the bye week. But yeah, we have a long season ahead of us, boys.
I'm so glad the bye week is here. Like, I need a break from Billy Napier.
But Will, we're so close to being dangerous. We are. Really are. We're only like 30 to 40 plays away from being dangerous.
Like, that's 2 more weeks for Billy to draw up some crazy stuff that's not going to work. So
I'll hold the flashlight. Yeah, if he needs it.
Golly. One of the things that hit me today, kind of watching other games, it's the first game that I've watched on TV this year, is you watch, like, I hate giving them credit. You watch Tennessee play, and you know what their identity is. They want to speed up the game. They want to run their unethical offense. We're going to run 1,000 plays, 1,000,000 miles an hour. You watch Georgia. They didn't play today, but you watch Georgia. You know that they're going to play hard defense. They're going to be physical. They're going to try to run the ball. It's like every other team that's good has that identity. You know what you're getting. I thought that Billy wanted to run the ball and kind of have that Georgia mold where we're gonna run the ball down your throat. We're gonna play hard defense. We're gonna be physical. I watch our offense and I have no idea what our identity is supposed to be. Like last week, we throw the ball 49 times, run it 27 times. This week, it seemed like the balance was a little bit better. I haven't gone back and looked at what the
29 runs, 23 passes.
Yeah, so that's more in line with what you want the identity to look like, I think. It's such a bad product, and I know I used that line last week, but it's bad football. It's no identity, no idea exactly what we want to be, and in year 4, it's just not good enough. And we laugh and joke because, like we said, we have to laugh to keep from crying sometimes talking about it. But it's so hard to watch this team that's just kind of lost in the wilderness, I think, under this coach. And
well, Dev, you, and the fans are lost too. And I want to ask you guys. I'll start with Sam. What's Napier's or Scott's message to the fans? You know, you have a bye week, so the fans will calm down a little bit. You know, they don't have to watch us next Saturday. But then we have Texas at home. It's probably the first time we've ever hosted Texas in the Swamp. There might have been something way back in the day. But, Sam, what would your message be from Napier or Scott to the fans? We're all season ticket holders, so we're going to the game as all Gator grads. We'll make that drive over from Ocala and Jacksonville. But for someone like yourself that would need to travel, you know, you're a little bit farther than the average fan. But what's the message you would like to hear to get that place rowdy and packed, even though the Gators are 1-3.
There's nothing you can say.
Spot the ball.
Respectfully, like
I feel you.
There's nothing you can say, and it's just funny. Like, not even September 21 is the day, and college football season. You know, August 31st, a kickoff. Like. The hype going into the Texas match with us, you know, DJ, Arch, us, top 20, 2 5 stars, Heisman. And now look at it. Like, it's unbelievable how quickly, like, the air is out of the balloon. But no, to the original question, like, there's nothing you can say. And honestly, I don't think they should say anything. Don't even, like, save me with the note. Save me with, you know, the cliche coach talk and everything. Tell me you stink. Tell me you're going to try to be a little bit better, even though I know you're not. There it is. That's where we're at.
I think the only way to send a message to the fans to provide some excitement, which we've talked about, it's not going to happen due to the 4-game rule, but the fire in Napier, or it's going to be a funeral in that swamp with the loss. It's going to be worse than, I believe, was it 2014 Missouri? When Muschamp got booed off the field, we got beat by like four scores, an inept offense. I think it's going to be pretty similar. So the only way to ignite this fan base is with the firing an intern coach, and that would proceed to a new play caller. And I think that's the only way to do it. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen unless Hunter, Dev, or Will, you got different opinions or a different message that they do need to relay to the fans to get a Pac Swamp for a big time matchup.
Yeah, there's nothing else really to say other than we've moved on. Like, I don't think that there's any other answer that provides any sort of hope for the fan base. It's just it reminds me so much. It's like deja vu to 2013, 2014 Florida. And hopefully this time we make a better hire once we moved on from Muschamp. But, you know, there's nothing else to say other than we've wasted a year. We should have done this after the Texas A&M game last year. We shouldn't have given him a chance to crawl out of the hole that he was in and have the fool's gold for four games at the end of last year. We were all wrong. Hand up. We screwed up. We've wasted a year. So the sooner they cut ties, the better. So there's nothing really else to say other than that to me.
Hunter?
Yeah, I mean, you said Billy and Scott, and so I guess the only thing that can be better is Scott goes down with them, right? I resign, I take back my contract extension, right? And that is something that you see people on Twitter where, you know, there's all the blame on Billy, which there should be, but who's the guy who hired him? Unfortunately, and it's not a reason to back off the criticism of Scott because he deserves plenty, but from my perspective, he just signed a contract extension. It's not going to happen. Any of the calls for people, you know, for Scott to be fired, I understand it and I agree. There's no way that's going to happen. And so at this point, any of the questions of him being the one to hire the next coach, he will be the one to hire the next coach. So I guess all that to say, no, Jackson, there's nothing else they could say besides what all these guys just summarized so eloquently. Just move on and we'll pot in peace the rest of the year and create our coaching list.
I don't think there will be anything said. I mean, Scott Strickland, he doesn't do media. That guy's been running from the media for quite some time now. So don't expect to hear anything from him, whether it's a, you know, a firing or a vote of confidence. But Billy should honestly apologize. I think he should apologize because he is so unbelievably bad. And he keeps talking about how we're going to fix the football and all this stuff. He should just literally just offer an apology to Gator Nation and the fans. Like, this guy has sold out the Swamp so many times for these terrible, terrible teams. And he keeps asking us to be patient. And you got all these fans that go and travel. And, you know, they put themselves in harm's way going down to Miami with those rabid, crazy people. They go out to LSU to where it's just like swamp people. You're liable to get eaten by an alligator or a Cajun. And they'll be all over the rest of the season, whether he's there or not. He should literally just apologize and say, I'm sorry, this has been terrible. And we need to change several things around here and just – and do something different. Like, he keeps doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and expecting a different result. I think he might be clinically insane. but I do not think he's going to get fired. I'm going to tell you exactly what is going to happen. I told you guys earlier in the week. I know I have the now hiring sign up, but he's not going anywhere. I'm telling you. He came out and got these guys to have a close loss against Miami where we were so close, had a chance to win the game, and we're going to go into the bye week.
26-7, it wasn't close. It wasn't close. I know it was one score game in the third quarter, but it wasn't close.
It was pretty close there for a while. And he's going to go out and he's going to talk about how we tweaked something in the bye week. And Texas is so bad this year. We're going to beat Texas. Like, the Swamp gets you one every single year. We've already talked about it. He is going to beat Texas in the Swamp. And then he's going to go have another close loss at Texas A&M. And then we're going to be sitting here kind of Groundhog's Day. We'll be 2-4. And then we're going to beat Mississippi State at home because we just win homecoming. And we are more talented than them. And it's like that one game where everything is going to click. And we're going to have a bye week. We're gonna lose close to Georgia, just like we have been. But it's going to be like incremental progress.
I have muted Will Norris. I can't take any more of this crap. He is providing the podcast and our listeners. This is just unbelievable.
That was worse than the game.
We're gonna put him in timeout for about 30 more seconds. But
and then we're gonna go 3-1. We'll be 6-6, and then we're just
make
gonna
make the Batman go away.
Will, you
don't believe that? You do
I do.
Not.
I do. I went out after he didn't die last year. This guy is not gone.
You do not believe that, man. You believe not just through the year. You're saying next year, 2026 football season, Billy Napier is 5th year as the coach of the Florida Gators. That's what you're saying right now.
Yeah, like we kick off against FAU, I think he's still going to be the coach because we won't do anything. I'm telling you, like he's going to go 6-6 somehow. He's going to have a decent recruiting class. He might have a 5-star quarterback right committed. What?
We're 1-3 right now.
I know. He's going to find a way. He's going to find a way. I'm telling you. This guy will not leave us alone. He should apologize.
I can't tell if he's coping, Devin, or if he's maybe just a closet Billy Napier believer. I mean, it sounds
You see the black background. He's got the mentality right.
I have taken off my black flag mentality shirt because I'm done with the black flag mentality. No more jokes about black flag mentality. It's hurt me too much.
He is just like a cockroach. You know, you don't want him around, but he somehow just continues to survive. And that's exactly what Billy Napier is in Will Norris's mind.
Oh, my gosh.
For wanting to think that the guy in question, he's quite literally been coaching for his job since Miami week one last season and has done nothing that would show you that he's coaching for his job. Absolutely nothing. He coaches scared. Like, I was kind of joking around a little bit. Like, I was like, do a fake field goal. Like, why not? I was kind of being serious. He would never do that. he would never do that.
Could you imagine how bad a fake field goal would go? With Billy
it would be the most disgusting thing that's ever been done.
I think we were talking about during that timeout, the end of the third quarter on that 4th-and-4 coming up, and someone at the watch party said, great, Napier just needs more time to think of the worst 4th-down call in the history of Florida athletics. And what do you know, a 3-yard hitch on a 4th-and-4.
This guy's somehow going to get another year, and it's going to drive me insane.
No, he's dead. He's dead.
He's not dead, and it's somehow.
Before he's we dead. Get off point two, the just I think that it does a disservice to just how bad Billy Napier's been if we give him the Scott Strickland excuse, because Scott Strickland's made terrible football hires and he's going to get to have another chance, hopefully to fix it, but to make another potentially terrible football hire. The university has given Billy Napier every single thing that he has asked for, everything from pointless staff members to the indoor facility was coming up anyway, but everything that Billy could have possibly dreamed of, he's gotten at Florida. And you've seen that a coach can win at the highest level in revenue sports at the University of Florida in 2025. It just happened. And to the point that Will made when we first got on, the school and the athletic department, for all their faults and all their flaws, does have the support in place and the commitment in place to win national championships. In basketball, it's already happened. With the right football coach, it can happen too. So that's where I'm at with the athletic program. Like, obviously, we're all ticked that Scott got like a self-granted 5-year extension through the Swamp renovations. We're all pissed about what the Swamp renovations could potentially look like if they reduce capacity. But just keeping in mind that Billy Napier is an enigma of a terrible football coach. Well, way, way worse than any other that we've seen since World War II in the history of Florida football. And that would be the case whether or not Scott Strickland knew what he was doing. So I don't take solace in the fact that Scott Strickland's making the next hire, but I do take solace in the fact in knowing that the next coach cannot possibly, knock on wood, be worse than what we've watched these last 4 years.
We can't.
Agree. Well, I will like to shout out, Dev and I were in attendance to the Fernandina Beach Santa Fe Raiders football game Friday night. I went to Santa Fe. Dev lives in Fernandina. And we did get to watch one former Gator, Ernest Graham, dad of linebacker Miles Graham, win a game Friday night. So Santa Fe, my alma mater event, moves to 4-0. So at least we got one victory in the books watching a former Gator this weekend, Dev.
Yeah, shout out to my cousin Eli at Fernandina Beach. He tough loss. They're 5-1 this year. They're putting together a good season in Fernandina. The Pirates are having a good year, so we'll bounce back.
Well, fellas, any last thoughts before we wrap up? I know next week's the bye. We will not have a Breakfast Bites episode due to the bye week, but I believe we're planning on kind of a State of the Union through the first four games episode just to keep the content flowing. So if you guys got any questions or comments, just tweet at us at BreakfastWTG, and we'll certainly get your questions and thoughts into the show.
We want to keep our list next week.
Do what?
Do we want to drop a list next week?
Oh yeah, we'll start the list. It's fluid, obviously. it'll be dropped probably before the games end on Saturday. So barring the results of anybody on our list, they will be immediately removed from that list. So
I think the list is gonna begin and end with Billy Napier. He's gonna be back. It's just gonna haunt us.
Mute him.
Boo this man.
Don't boo me. I've fired him years ago.
Well, guys, thanks again for listening. Please like and subscribe. Follow us on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Podcasts. And also give us a follow on Twitter at BreakfastWTG. Thanks again. And we are brought to you by Norris & Norris PA. Out of Lake City, Florida, Norris & Norris PA is a preeminent law firm serving North Florida since 1985. You can give Guy Norris a call at 386-752-7240 if you need any assistance with business law matters, real estate, wills, or trust, and estate planning. So thank you again, guys, and all kinds of weather, and eventually we'll get out of this storm.
Go Gators.
That was a bar, Jackson.
Go Gators.